In The Way We Get By, a new play by Neil Labute, Beth and Doug wake up after a hookup and deal with the conversation and consequences that sometimes entails. The show is running at the Second Stage Theater in New York City through June 14th. Thomas Sadowski plays Doug. Sadowski is a stage and screen actor. In 2011, he originated the role of Trip Wyeth in John Robin Bates' Other Desert Cities, for which he won an Obie Award and a Lucille Lortel Award. He's worked often on and off Broadway in New York, as well as appearing all over the country and the world, including in our backyard at New York Stage and Film's Powerhouse season at Vassar, and return engagements at the Williamstown Theater Festival. On screen, recent credits include HBO's The Newsroom and the film Wild. Thomas Sadowski, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So you often work with Second Stage Theater. What do you like about working there?
Yeah, this is my sixth time working with those guys. It's rare that you find a place that is a real incubator for new American work, young playwrights, young directors, young actors. They really give people an opportunity and to really put their work out there. They have a really prolonged preview period, which allows for the artists to really develop their work in front of an audience without the stress and anxiety of having it reviewed yet. And the people involved in the organization are incredibly passionate about what they're doing there. They're incredibly clear-sighted. And I've always found it to be a place that has been like an artistic, spiritual home for me. They gave me my first two jobs, so I always return there.
There are several playwrights in your resume, Neil Labute, Richard Nelson, Kenneth Lonergan, that you return to. The play that you're in right now is, of course, a Labute play. What is it about their work, and I'm sure the answer is a little bit different for each, but what is it about certain playwrights that causes you to return to their work, to want to keep exploring their scripts?
Yeah, I think an important name left off that list, and one that really I do want to talk about, is Lucy Thurber, mm-hmm. a young playwright who, for my money, is one of the most important and most interesting voices in the American theater right now, and who I'm very hopeful we'll continue to see her work produced more and more and more. I think she's doing some really exciting stuff, talking about sections of society that aren't often, frankly, discussed in the theater. But it's different for every writer, like you said. And oftentimes, to be completely honest, it's also just a matter of being invited back by these playwrights to continue doing their work, which is always a wonderful thing, particularly with the people that you've mentioned who are so talented and such wonderful artists. I think that on some sort of level, we all, we gravitate towards people who understand us and are able to tell our stories, or hear our stories. With those guys and with Lucy and a couple other playwrights in particular, I feel like I've been really fortunate to, something about their work echoes in a very specific part of me, and whatever artistic soul it is that I possess, and something that I do with their words, I guess, echoes with them. And it's been a pretty profoundly, wonderful collaboration that I've had with Neil over the years, I've had with Kenny over the years, and certainly with Richard Nelson, who such a wonderful, amazing playwright and such a great man. And then, of course, my dear Lucy Thurber, who, like I said, I think is doing really some extraordinary and exciting work. So I'm not entirely sure what it is that keeps bringing us back together, but I'm not complaining about it.
What are some of the particular challenges and things you're exploring with the character of Doug in The Way We Get By?
Well, I think with everything that I do, I'm most interested in trying to find an arc. I'm trying to figure out how this character ends the story differently than he began it, because my understanding of storytelling and my understanding of the dramatic and narrative structure is that's what should happen. For an audience to be fully engaged, you want to see, a character change, or at least I do. And so for me, it's everything I go into, I'm looking to find out, where and how I can figure out who this person is at any given point throughout the course of the show and how they'll end up differently by the end. For me, in this part, I think it's been particularly interesting and tricky. I wouldn't say troublesome necessarily, but tricky to build, particularly physically, an arc of growing up, you know, of a sort of superannuated adolescent at the beginning to someone who has grown into something resembling a more courageous, fully formed adult by the end. And how can you vocally and physically make that manifest without, you know, putting too fine a point on it? You know, I don't want to sort of beat people over the head with it. You know, it's a growth that I'm very much interested in myself, trying to subtly play out throughout the course of the play, so that the growth that happens before you, you almost don't even perceive it, and that by the end, the person who has sort of been, you know, hunched over three quarters through, you know, that you saw at the beginning of the play, is now standing fully erect and you know, open in a way that, frankly, you couldn't have imagined it being possible at the beginning of the show, but you didn't even see it necessarily happen. And so, you know, it's tracking those little bits throughout the course of the play while simultaneously staying open, available, honest, listening to my partner and taking what she's giving me at any given moment, and responding, you know, honestly and with integrity to what she's giving me. And it's tricky, you know, in 90 minutes in real time, there's no place to take a break. Mm-hmm. And the train just sort of keeps rolling on. And if you miss an opportunity, you know, it's gone. It sails on past, and you have to pick it up somewhere later without thinking about it too much. Because, like I said, you know, being present, being available for my partner, especially in a two-hander, you know, with no intermission, is paramount. So it's a little bit of a tricky thing right now, but we got a little bit of time to figure it out.
Sure. It occurs to me that we should reestablish what the sort of story of the play is. So you and Amanda Seyfried are playing Beth and Doug, and you've woken up after a one-night stand. And you're dealing with the complications, consequences, and conversations that sometimes leads to.
Right.
In that story, in a two-hander, like you say, it's just the two of you on stage, and then, of course, you work through rehearsals and previews with your director, Lee Silverman. How intimate a trifecta is that? How much do the three of you give and take and have back and forth? Is it open discourse during the development process?
Well, you know, it's actually four of us, because Neil was in the room as well.
That
makes
sense.
And very, very much involved in the process, rewriting for you know, for us.
Mm-hmm.
That connection between the four of us is incredibly intimate. I mean, we get to know each other very, very well. And, you know, you have to trust your partners and your collaborators in that sort of situation when you're working that closely with people. And when, frankly, when you're putting out, you know, putting yourself out there every night in the way that this play requires us to. I mean, it seems at the beginning like it's going to be a very different play, very sort of light and fun and, you know, sort of the morning after play that turns and grows and actually becomes a story about, you know, having the courage to embrace the life that you've always dreamed that you could lead. And whether or not it's actually possible for these two people to do that. And that's a big story that comes with a lot of pain and a lot of hope, which is a word not often associated with Neil's work. But, you know, you get to know each other pretty well in those circumstances. And fortunately, we had an amazing group. You know, Lee is such a steady hand as a director. She's so generous, and she's so insightful, and she has this amazing, wonderful mind and this big, gorgeous, open heart, and is able to translate very easily, you know, to actors, you know, which is a different language that we speak sometimes, it's a very specific skill to be able to talk to actors in a way that allows them to quickly easily understand what you need out of them and translate that into themselves physically and emotionally. And Neil is such a generous collaborator, he's not precious with his work at all. He's more than happy to let the best idea win in the room. He trusted us, which was phenomenally gracious of him. He certainly doesn't have to be like that, with given his stature and his standing. But he was, and it was amazing. And then, you know, working with Amanda this is her first play,
mm-hmm.
and you know, to go through that process with somebody is. I mean, I feel very lucky to have been invited in to be a part of it. You know, it's an incredibly courageous act to face up to your deepest fears. You know, which she is in this. You know, by stepping out on stage. I mean, stage fright is no joke, and she's. It's been a wonderful experience to walk through it with her, and she's such a generous partner and so brave as an actor and so committed and smart, and her choices are, you know. Always filled with just so much heart and soul that it's, you know, it was an amazing thing to be a part of that rehearsal room and that preview process. And now we're in that world where we've just opened, we're cut free, and, you know, it's the two of us and our stage management team, you know, and we're sort of out there in the winds. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because the four of us did get to be very close over the course of, you know, 3.5 weeks of rehearsal.
You mentioned stage fright. Do you have any stage fright? Do you suffer from it at all?
You know, I think that any actor who's being honest does. It's just a degree to which it is holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people will refer to it as anxiety, or some people refer to it as butterflies or the jitters or whatever, but it's all the same thing. And I have that, you know, to some degree. I've, over the course of almost 20 years, have learned to compartmentalize it and in some ways even use it to my benefit. But it, of course, it definitely comes roaring up, you know, every day right before I get out there on stage at some point during the course of the day, and it never lets me know when it's going to happen. But I have enough experience with it to know it when it does show up, and to have some tools to sort of redirect it and make good creative use of that energy, because it's, you know, it is energy, and it is energy to be used creatively. If you can harness it, there's really something pretty amazing that can be done with it. But you know, I would also be lying if I said there's sometimes it doesn't, you know, bite me on the back of the ankle and I go down. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. it gets the better of you. It's the struggle.
Is that pre-performance energy and anxiety similar when you're acting for the screen, for television or film, or is it because the processes are so different? I mean, everything about it is different except that it's still acting. Is that energy different too?
Yeah, it is. It's a very different thing. At least it has been for me. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone, but for myself, I don't necessarily get that same tension, that same energy. It doesn't appear in the same way. And I'm still, as I'm a relatively young film actor, I'm still trying to. I know that there is an energy that appears, you know, early on in the shooting day and throughout the course of the day, and I'm still trying to sort of figure out how it manifests itself in me and how best to make use of it. Sometimes it can just exhaust you or me. Sometimes it can make me a little grumpy, and sometimes it can, frankly, make me have a really truly wonderful time in a way that I didn't know it was ever possible to do on a film set. So I'm trying to figure out a way to harness it. It does appear, but not in the same way, not in the specific degree that it does walking out on stage. And I think that there's really something primal about being in a room with other human beings mm-hmm. and telling a story. I think that there's something that is in our foundational DNA about that experience. You know, that we as these human animals have been doing this I think it was probably the third thing that we did, you know, after we went and hunted and gathered and built the fire, we sat around and told stories about how we did all those things. And you know, I think that there's something about it that you know, sitting in a theater preparing or about to hear a story when the lights go down, or even in the midst of hearing a story, that it kicks in on some sort of deeper level. And, you know, I think that that energy comes from a sort of deeper well in the theater than it does on film and TV. And it's just my take on it, but I think that, you know, I think that history bears it out.
One of the organizations that this show is lucky enough to cover regularly is the Williamstown Theater Festival, a place where you have performed numerous times. What has the Williamstown meant to you? What has that theater festival meant to you or done for you?
Oh, wow. Williamstown is an extraordinary place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the festival is... It's a really important place for young artists. I think that there's an opportunity there to risk big under really sort of ideal conditions with extraordinary people around you that you can learn from. It's safe artistically. And it's also so fertile. Some of the best performances of any play or any story I've ever seen, I've seen at like 1 o'clock in the morning in the dorm halls of Williamstown, people doing like pop-up theater, you know, members of the non-union company or the intern companies up there doing like pop-up theater in the halls of the dorm rooms at 1 o'clock in the morning, and just mesmerizing, you know, talent, doing it just for pure love of doing it. And, you know, sitting and watching with 10 other people, you know, as this thing sort of plays out in front of you. And I think that there are very few places where that sort of thing is happening with the level of professional talent that is up there, with the level of support that is generated for the artists by other artists. You know, it's a pretty remarkable place, and I think you guys are very lucky. You get an opportunity to work with them as closely as you do. Also, it's a pretty extraordinary place.
Thomas Sadowski stars as Doug in Neil Labute's The Way We Get By, running at the Second Stage Theater in New York City through June 14th. It has been wonderful chatting with you about your work. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.